It says in your bulletin that this is the sermon time of our service. But it depends on how you define service, the sermon, that this might not be completely accurate this week. In my preparation this week, I had a nudge that I should start this time with some kind of short story to help open up our scripture readings. But when I sat down to write, something else happened. What I would define as a fable happened. And I debated scrapping it and just doing something more like what we normally do here in this time. But as we know, the Holy Spirit works in ways we don't always plan and can't always control. So I am just going to trust in her wisdom that hopefully there is something for you in the hearing of this story, as there was for me in the writing of it. So as I tell the tale, I invite you to notice if anything shifts in you, if anything moves you or repels you, and if so, ask yourself why that might be. What might be going on for you or within you that God is trying to lift to the surface for you this week? And if you feel comfortable doing so, perhaps talk about it with someone, maybe a friend or a family member or a fellow church member or one of your ministers. We are not alone in the journey of faith. And the God of love is always at work in our lives, even in ways, perhaps especially in ways we don't plan or can't control. Friends, this is the story of Adrish the Beaver and the Stone of Destiny. A long, long, long time ago, before there was Netflix, before there was Twitter, before there were even people on this land, there was a beaver. A very clever beaver named Adrish. And Adrish, like all beavers of his time, lived in a mud house alongside a stream. Now one day it started to rain, and it rained and it rained and it rained so much that it would have sent Noah to the boats if he was in the story, but he's not. And it rained and it rained and it rained all through the day and all through the night, and the stream swelled like it had never swelled in living memory of all beaver kind. And in a great flood, Adrish's mud house and all the mud houses of all the beavers got washed away. Now this was a pretty big deal. But beavers, being an industrious and somewhat stubborn lot, began to rebuild their mud houses. I say the beavers began to build their mud houses, but really it was all the beavers except one. Adrish, the subject of our story, just sat there on the stream bed. He did not rebuild. He just sat there in the mud that was once his home, his beaver head in his beaver hands, crying out, "What to do? What to do? What to do?" If it rains again like it did last night, what would happen? There must be a different way. There must be a better way. And being a very clever beaver, a better way came to him. Sticks. Sticks would be a lot harder to wash away in a storm. He would build his home out of sticks. And that is what he did. While all the rest of the beavers made their houses out of mud, Adrish made his house out of sticks. And what a house it was. Tall and strong and grand, with a jacuzzi tub and a pickleball court in the back. But Adrish's new house was not without controversy in the community of the beavers. It was just so different. Too out of the ordinary for some of them, and they let him know it. Beavers make houses out of mud, they said. That's the way it has always been. Mud was good enough for our parents and our grandparents and our great-grandparents. Who do you think you are changing everything just like that? Now, as I said, Adrish was a very clever beaver, and he knew it. Truth be told, he was also somewhat of an arrogant beaver, and he did not take this criticism from the other beavers very gracefully. I won't recount everything that he said, but barbs about being anti-progress, stuck in the mud, deplorables were some of the more repeatable insults he hurled at them. Adrish was so harsh and his words so sharp and they enraged the other beavers so much that to teach him a lesson, they came that night to Adrish's grand stick house with the jacuzzi tub and the pickleball court with torches. And they set the sticks to blaze and they ran him out of town. Humiliated and alone, Adrish set out on the road to where he did not yet know. He walked and he walked and he walked and then he walked some more until he came to a crossroads. And at the crossroads, he met a snake. And the snake asked him why he was out on the road by himself, so far from the stream and so far from all the other beavers. And with seemingly nothing to lose, Adrish retold the story of the flood and the fire and those bigoted beavers that ran him out of town and how he had nothing left and nowhere to go. And the snake hissed, "I know where you should go. I know what you should do. You should go and visit the Raven Queen high, high, high up in the mountains. If you pay her homage, she may give you a stone, a special stone that can transform into anything you desire. But if you go up into the mountains and pay homage to the Raven Queen, and she gives you a stone that can transform into anything you desire, choose wisely, for the choice you make will shape the destiny of all." Well, for a clever beaver who had nothing left to lose, this was just too intriguing a prospect to pass up. So he left at once. He set off without even looking back. But if he would have looked back, he might just have seen a snake slithering off in the other direction towards the stream. Now the journey to the realm of the Raven Queen took many days. And Adrish had many encounters with many strange creatures and had many adventures that cannot be retold here. But after all of this and with much toil and trial, he arrived at the kingdom of the Raven Queen, high, high, high up in the mountains. And what a magnificent kingdom it was, with cottages and shops and open-air markets filled with all sorts of delectable wonders, all enclosed in a rampart of stone, guarded two by two by hedgehog soldiers, clad in helms and shields and spears. And at the center of the realm was a grand palace, the grandest palace with towers and turrets and courtyards and banquet halls and 18 pickleball courts. It was all very overwhelming for a beaver from the stream, even one as clever as Adrish. But he had come so far, and undeterred, he asked for an audience with the queen. And being a generous and magnanimous queen, she granted it. Standing there before the Raven Queen, her head encircled in gold and jewels and inclined towards him in regal bemusement, the shabby, road-weary beaver recounted the whole story of the flood and the fire and the snake at the crossroads and the journey to the mountains. And when he had finished, he made his big ask. "Oh, generous, oh, magnanimous Raven Queen, I come to pay you homage and throw myself upon your graciousness and by your immeasurable goodness humbly request the stone that can transform into anything I desire." And she stared at him long and hard with those dark, mirrored, and mysterious eyes. And then with a start, the Raven Queen spread her great wings and took off into the air, and she encircled Adrish three times. And on the third time, he could see something falling from the air, so he held out his beaver hands, and he caught a stone. An unhewn and ordinary stone, but a stone of destiny nonetheless. That night, the Raven Queen hosted a stately banquet and invited the whole kingdom and filled the largest hall with food and drink and music and merriment. Adrish, a beaver from the stream, could hardly believe that this was real life. And as much as he wanted to enjoy himself that night, his mind was fully fixed on the stone in his hand and what to do with it, what to do with it, what to do with it. and he thought about his past and all that he had gone through and all that he had lost, all that had been taken from him. And these thoughts made him angry, and they made him afraid. And then looking around at the Raven Queen's palace, he thought maybe he would create a great fortress of stone where he would be protected from any flood or fire or fury. And as he thought of the fortress, the stone in his hand almost imperceptibly, more closely took on the shape of a building block, and with it in his hand, he felt safer somehow. But then his mind shifted, and he thought of those soldiers in arms he had seen on the ramparts, and he pondered how powerful he could become, what kind of change he could bring, what kind of progress he might manifest with a mighty army at his command. And as this thought took over, the stone in his hand became sharper, more jagged, and it made him feel strong. What to do, what to do, what to do. Adrish needed some air, so he went out onto the balcony to sniff at the night. And as he looked into the dark valley below, he started seeing a glow on the horizon, red and orange and flickering. Closer and closer it came. And he watched spellbound as the glow grew into individual torch flames, hundreds of them, thousands of them. And as they got closer, he could see that each flame was carried by a beaver. A great horde of blood-lusting beavers were marching towards the palace, marching towards him. His shaking hand tightened on the stone, and then on the wind, Adrish could just make out what sounded like a snake's hiss. Choose wisely, for your choice will shape the destiny of all. Seeing the approaching beaver army, Adrish ran down the stairs into the streets below, pacing and crying out into the night, what to do, what to do, what to do? At all this commotion, an old fox came blinking out of her cottage. She looked him up and down and up, and saw the stone in his hands. She smiled and said, come in. Sit down, young stranger, and tell me where you've been. Feeling the weight of the moment, Adrish went in and sat down and recounted the whole story of the flood and the fire and the snake at the crossroads and the journey to the mountains and the stone of destiny and the army of the beavers all fired up by that sneaky serpent and the choice to build a fortress or to create an army. The choice was now upon him and needed to be made. The old fox woman looked him up and down and up, and asked him thoughtfully if those were really the only two choices. She settled her gaze on the stone in his hand and leaned towards him and said, there's something the serpent didn't tell you about that stone. You see, that stone is full of very old magic, the magic of the mountains themselves. And when you use that stone, you become what you use it for. When you use the stone, you become what you use it for. And with these words, she ushered Adrish back out into the night. He was a clever beaver who had traveled far and seen much, and looking down at the stone in his hands, he could now see how his choices had led to this moment and how his next choice would impact not just him, but also others around him. The beavers and the Raven Queen and the hedgehog soldiers and the wise old fox woman. He could now see how his next choice would shape the destiny of all. And then, with a bang, 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 at the city gates, he knew the time had come. Choose wisely, choose wisely, choose wisely. And he did. With a deep breath, Adrish opened his heart and offered himself onto the altar of choice, to the freedom of choice itself. And in that moment, the beaver and the stone became one. But where once was an unhewn and ordinary stone, now lay a smooth, polished stone, mirrored and brilliant and unavoidable. And from that day forth, anyone who picked it up before they could use it would need to look at themselves in its mirrored reflection. Before they could use the stone of destiny, they would need to look hard and deeply at themselves to see what they were becoming. Oh, look, a stone. May the Spirit bless the hearers and the tellers of the stories we share. Amen.